I must say, I am absolutely, totally amazed to be standing here in front of you, delivering and gearing up to deliver this message to you in Harry's absence, because it wasn't that long ago when I wouldn't have been caught dead doing this. But these past few years have been quite interesting in terms of what God has been showing and revealing to me, and subsequently bringing me to this moment. So, we're going to get to it. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together this morning on such a glorious day. Please bless each and every person here today and those who are not with us. Lord, you've been with me to prepare this message. Lord, I just ask you to be with me as I deliver this message, and may it be acceptable unto you. Amen. Well, as we heard during the reading of the word, all the disciples in that boat saw Jesus walking on the stormy sea toward them. And in terror, they shouted, "It's a ghost!" And do you remember what Jesus said? "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And do you remember how Peter answered? "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So Jesus said, "Come." Just one word. He could have said, "Well, come on then." Or, "What are you waiting for? Get out of that boat and get over here." Or, "You can do it. Just take one step at a time." But Jesus just said, "Come." So Peter climbed over the side of that boat and began walking through those stormy waves to Jesus. And he was doing just fine until, oh wow, the wind howling and blowing like crazy. And guess what? Peter became really scared. And his focus shifted from Jesus to the situation he found himself in. And in fear, he began to sink. And that's where we're going to leave him for the moment, sinking in fear. Now, we are all afraid of something, every last one of us. It could be fear of an infinite number of things. For every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet is a corresponding fear or fears with which each person battles. A healthy fear is not a bad thing. It is a reaction to danger, whether real or perceived, and our minds and our bodies is kicking to high gear to deal with that situation. On the flip side, though, being in a constant state of fear is definitely not a good thing. Ultimately, this state of mind leads to loss of joy, unfulfilled dreams, and to drifting through life, not realizing one's purpose because of being so fearful to take a risk into the unknown. The easy way of dealing with fear is to do nothing, to stay within our boring comfort zones, and just exist. And yet, a vague restlessness intrudes, or even an intense regret that there was something we might have done, but did not do, because of being too afraid to take that first step out of the boat. So, what other choice is there? How about putting our fears to work? Fear can be used to grow our faith. Our fear is actually a gateway to faith. Well, how, you asked? Well, that's what we're going to explore throughout the rest of this message. One of our greatest fears seems to be that of the unknown. We worry about the future. What if we go here? Or we step there? Or we turn here? Or we go down this path over there? What if we go to the doctor and have that test or procedure? What if we step away from our nice, comfortable job that we know so well to take the promotion where we just might fall flat on our faces? What if? Well, so what if? How in the world can you ever know what if until you step out in faith and find out? There is a risk here, for sure. By stepping out, you may think you are stepping into an abyss, and you may wonder who in the world is going to catch you when you fall in. God can, and He will. Fear not, for I am with you always. God wants you to take that risk for him. He wants you to feel secure in him. He wants you to fulfill your purpose with him. Last month was the month of April. And in addition to my taking a risk in an airplane partnership, we received 3 phone calls, 1 from each of our children. First phone call came from Ryan, our youngest. Ryan sprung the news on us. He and his fiance are moving to San Francisco Bay Area.
Really?
And just when are you planning to do this? Oh, May 19th, 18th, 19th, thereabouts. Okay, and what are you going to do there? Well, you know, Christine's going to look for a job, and she's got some feelers out, and Ryan, well, he's going to go to school, and he's going to get that engineering degree, and maybe transfer to Berkeley, you know, and on and on and on. So, in 2 weeks, we're flying up to Denver, and we're going to bid our son and his fiance on their journey to San Francisco for them to fulfill and realize their dreams. May God be with them. Second phone call came from our middle son, Patrick. Patrick already lives in the San Francisco Bay Area, he and our daughter-in-law, Sarah. And Pat says to me, "Hey, I've got some news for you." And I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to be a grandma. I'm going to be a grandma. "No, Mom, you're not going to be a grandma. This isn't the time yet." "Okay, so what's your news, Pat?" "Well, we're going to buy a house in Tahoe." "You're going to do what?" "No, really, we're going to partner up with a contractor friend of ours, and we're going to buy this 100-year-old Victorian house near Lake Tahoe. We're going to fix it up, and we're going to sell it and flip it and make lots of money, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." And so Stan came in with 100 questions that he usually has, and evidently they've thought it all through. And so they're going to do this. May God be with them as they pursue this dream. The final call came from our daughter, Kelly. I took this call at work. And she works for a company up in Denver, a marketing firm. She was, in the meantime, she's been sending out resumes all over the country for a technical job that she is especially trained for. Sure enough, call came from a company up in Fort Collins who wanted her to come up to take an assessment test. It was on a Monday afternoon that she was to do this. Subsequently, the prior week, the company she was currently working for discussed their policy on absences, and they were not being too flexible about this. And so she said, "On the flip side, Mom, this could mean termination of my current job if I go up there to do this." "Well, Kelly, what are you going to do?" "Well," she says, I regret doing this than to regret not doing this at all." So she went ahead, she talked with her team leader, she went ahead, she went on up to Fort Collins, she took the assessment test. A few days later, she was called back for a panel interview, which she absolutely hates, but she seemed to do very well because a few days later, they offered her the job. And so she will start her new job up in Fort Collins on May 20th. May God be with her as she pursues this new adventure. So see what happens when you just take the step of faith. The wonderful adventures that you can have. A deep-seated fear most of us deal with is that of failure, which in itself can encompass a host of fears. Fear of not measuring up, fear of being perceived as incompetent, fear of trying something new and not succeeding, corresponding with the fear of appearing as foolish for even thinking we could possibly do this. It's a fact. We do not like to fail. And we sure don't want others to find out that we have failed. I certainly have battled with this perception of failure for a good portion of my life, in spite of what God has tried to tell me over and over again, and that is, failure is not something to fight against, but is actually a tool to use as a jumping-off point to something far better. So what exactly is failure? In its simplest terms, isn't it our own perception of not achieving what we wanted to achieve? I'm not quite sure at what point in our youth we perceived failure as a bad thing. Was it the homework and test papers marked up in red pen that started us down this track? Was it being the last kid chosen to be on a team on the playground? Was it just absolutely wanting to die if we didn't measure up during tryouts for the cheerleading squad? Was it not winning a blue ribbon in solo and ensemble contests? Was it someone constantly on our cases? Was it the constant competition to achieve, to be the best, to be first, to be worthy of acceptance? It seems that most of us, until shown or redirected otherwise, perceive failure as a bad deal, and therefore something to fear and avoid, even if it means remaining in a boring, lifeless comfort zone that is reasonably safe and secure. But by going down this path, what is the ultimate cost of lost opportunities compounded by regret? I've discovered that what we may perceive as failure is a way to be redirected to a blessing. It's not failure that shapes you. It's how you respond to failure that determines how you grow. When God is part of the works, failure takes on a whole different meaning. Because we are redeemed as perfect through Christ's sacrifice of himself for each one of us, failure becomes a way for a person to look inside, to reflect, and to chart a different path. In failure, we have extraordinary opportunities to learn and opportunities to grow in our faith. When we step out in faith to do something we've never done before, or to try something new, or move down a different career path, or get that advanced degree, or start a business, or buy a farm, or learn to fly, repair a relationship, or decide to begin a family, which could be one of the riskiest things of all when you really think about it, or, horrors, to share your faith, there will definitely be some bumps in the road. The way may not always be clear to you. It may be foggy or murky. You may not have a sense that God is with you at certain times in the journey. You may stumble and tumble into the canyon a few times. You may fail. But these are opportunities to stop and ask yourself, what do I need to learn from this? During the course of my training to achieve my dream of becoming a private pilot, I can assure you it was a time of exhilarating highs and crashing lows. It was the wildest roller coaster ride I've ever been on. And I'm not talking just about recovery training from unusual attitudes. What this involves is student in the left seat, instructor in the right seat. Student has a contraption in front of his face called a hood that blocks the visual horizon and any outside indicators. All you can see is the instrument panel. Instructor on the right side says, okay, close your eyes, close your eyes. And then the instructor takes you through a series of the wildest turns, ups and descents and climbs and more turns and whoop-de-doos until the student is totally disoriented. And then the instructor says, okay, open your eyes. And what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to look at the instrument panel, determine whether you're in a steep climb or if you're in a dive down to the planet, and then you're supposed to be able to apply the appropriate measures to recover into straight and level flight. That was a blast. However, the roller coaster ride I'm talking about was a time of intense training when learning new skills and challenging my poor, overtasked, and overwhelmed mind resulted in a point of crisis where the roller coaster took me totally under the water for a while. That was when I seriously questioned, what in the world was I possibly thinking that I could actually do this? It took the combined efforts of my husband and my closest friend to get me back on track again. It took many long hikes talking with God about my fears and asking him to change my perceptions and my attitude. Only then did God show me the way to move forward again. I'm happy to say I finished the rest of my training, successfully completing my check ride on August 11th, 2006. That's the date you always remember, to your children's birth, your graduation day, your wedding day, the day of your check ride. It was really sweet when the examiner shook my hand and said, congratulations, you've earned your license to learn. Had I given up, how would I have known the joy? How would I have known the pleasure of sharing this joy of flight with others and viewing God's remarkable creation from above? I can't really speak of our fear of the unknown and fear of failure without addressing a fear that is somewhat similar in nature. The fear I speak of is that of rejection of us by others for whatever reason. The risk of rejection I'm thinking about in particular is that of stepping out of the boat to repair a relationship gone awry due to hurtful words or actions or simply circumstances beyond our control. Whether it's a family member or a longtime friend, taking that first step is really difficult because we have a deep-seated fear our efforts will be rejected. We fear the other person will wish to have nothing more to do with us. This is tough. However, if you don't take that first step to repairing that relationship, you will never know for sure. Most likely, the other person wants that reconciliation as much as you do, but has that same fear of rejection by you. But if the outcome is not as you would wish, at least you will finally know, and with God's help, you will be able to heal and move on to the blessings God has in store for you. So, flashback to Peter. Do you remember what happened when Peter began to sink? What would you do if you were walking on water and you began to sink? Lord, save me! And did Jesus stand by and watch Peter sink and drown? Of course not. He reached out his hand and caught him, while at the same time saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" The Bible is rich, incredibly rich, with verses throughout that address fear. Some I've listed in the bulletin insert to take you through the rest of this week. Here are two of my favorites that I just hang my hat on constantly. The first from Psalms 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The second is from Philippians 4, 13. My all-time favorite. I said this a lot when I was taking my check ride. "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." How awesome is that? Over the course of this week, read through these again. Memorize them. Keep them in your mind and in your heart. For future weeks, seek out some more. Get your Bible out. Find some more fear not verses. Put several verses together. Make it your own statement that will give you the courage to face your fears and to step out in faith to whatever God is urging you to do. As you incorporate these into your daily life, let them become part of the way you think, and you will be blessed beyond your wildest imaginings. As you do this, remember, Jesus is there for you. He will stretch out his hand to you. He won't let you flounder. He will not let you drown. For when you step out in faith toward him, he will guide your way, and he will continue to instill in your heart, "Fear not, for I am with you." In the act of crying out to him in our most desperate situations, our most profound fear, we are growing our faith at the same time. And there are many, many inspirational stories of people who have done just this, having stepped out to address something God has placed in their hearts. And as you heard from the Moment for Mission, one of our own, Ellie Edelman and Paul, have stepped out with their Love of Life project to help the people of Ellie's hometown of Huron in Ecuador with the Jaws of Life equipment that is so desperately needed. And what a blessing it is to contribute to that effort. And Katrina has just returned from Mexico, from working with people down there in that area. Welcome back, Katrina. We hope it was a blessing for you. What if each one of us listened to God with our minds and our hearts and stepped out in faith to do his will in our community, our country, in our world? What wonders and blessings are waiting to be discovered? How will we ever know if we don't take that risk and embark on a journey into the unknown with Christ at our sides? And if you are carrying a burden in your heart to step out and do something for a need that has been made known to you, the best thing you can possibly do for yourself is to pray about this to the one who knows how you feel and wants to take this journey with you. Because remember, he's the one who placed this urging into your heart in the first place. Then tell at least one other person. When you share this from your heart, it will give you the support and confidence you need to take the next step. Telling somebody will be your first steps to growing your dream and forming your vision. Then as you begin to work through the process of accomplishing your vision, you can be encouraged that you are indeed on the right path, and soon you will come to realize that you are indeed walking across that span of water toward a joy and satisfaction beyond anything you could have ever imagined. And just one more thing. What we're going to do is a little visualization exercise right now. As you are seated in your seats right now, close your eyes and picture yourself in whatever situation is causing you fear. Is it a health issue? Is it a relationship problem? Is it a dream that seems to be on the verge of dying? Is it wanting to share your faith with another, but you just don't know how? Is it answering the urge in your heart about something you know God wants you to do, but you have no clue how to begin? Are you fearful of the unknown? Is it a fear of possibly failing? Are you fearful you will be rejected? What is it you need to do, but fear is stopping you cold? Now, once you have visualized this, everybody stand up. Those of you that are able, with your eyes closed or open, your preference, picture yourself in that boat on the stormy sea. Pretend the chair in front of you is that boat. Grab it. Grab that boat. You are being tossed about terribly, and you are so frightened. You just know you are not going to make it through this storm. Now picture Jesus walking towards you on the water. He is not a ghost. Hear him say, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." See him standing on the water waiting for you. Hear him say, "Come." So go ahead. I want to see all of you doing this. Lift up your foot. Step over the side of the boat. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Now lift up your other foot and bring it over the side of the boat. See Jesus holding his hand out to you. Now let go of that boat. Stand up tall on the water. Now start walking. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.